welcome to Legends of... excuse me. Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. This is Steve Megatron's show, but I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Burnt out.
We can tell.
That's why there's a different host hosting the host.
That makes no hosting sense.
Well,
this is episode 36 of Legends of the Dark Knight. This is the second to last episode dealing with episodes of Batman Beyond. In this episode, we will be talking about Speak No Evil, The Call Parts 1 and 2, and Betrayal. Since our last episode went up, we have had some sad news. DC is killing Batman Beyond.
Are you fucking kidding me? Excuse me, I you know I never use that word. That is like the one with Kyle Higgins?
Yep.
Why?
It has, as of this recording, they just released this I really don't want to date this episode, but we've got four episodes left of the podcast. I don't care. It's 2014. As of Saturday, I almost said July. Saturday, September 13th, issue chapter 33 came out. They have seven more. I hate math. Yeah, they have seven more chapters. They're going to get to chapter 40, and they are going to end it. Because apparently what I've read from the web and everywhere else is that DC only wants one digital title per day. So they're going with some Batman, Jiro, Kudakai, something or other, some new digital series that they're premiering.
Are you shitting me? Oh my god.
Let me see if I can... find
they're such donkey balls.
The article. So
that's horrible.
Currently, the storyline in the Batman Beyond 2.0 comic is dealing with Ink, Ghoul, and Davis Dusk, who is a character that Kyle introduced as a new villain here. Alright, let me see here. Weird Science. DC Comics cancels Batman Beyond 2.0. The guys over at Weird Science, I'm going to have them on the pull bag at some point.
That's just... Oh my god. Why?
Yeah. According to Weird Science of DC blog, he says, recently, Christos Gage's Justice League Beyond 2.0 was canceled, and Batman Beyond went from bi-monthly schedule to once a week. If you're a fan of the digital first titles, there's just going to be a huge hole in your Saturdays come November. I guess we will still have Jiro Kuwata's Bat Manga. If you've been reading Batman Beyond 2.0 in the digital print, if you haven't been reading it, you've been missing out on one of the best books DC is putting out. Must read for fans of the Batman animated universe. It's great for everyone. Sadly, it's over soon. Maybe it'll be replaced by something even better.
Another Batman Beyond series, maybe?
Why would they... That's the thing. Why would they cancel a good thing that's going on now, a really good, awesome thing, to bring out another... Like, they already put him into...
Well, let's see, and I hate this to jump into a pullback territory, but...
It's all right. I don't care.
The thing for me is DC doesn't have a whole hell of a lot going for them right now.
Nope.
And to kill off a legitimately good title,
mm-hmm.
because, we want to change, we want to play some manga, I can't get behind it only because I've pretty much I don't collect Batman comics anymore. I don't even collect comics anymore because DC infuriates the shit out of me at this point. I cannot stand the garbage that they're putting out right now, because it's doing that Future's End, and then the, you know, where they've jumped 5 years. I mean, the 0 year already pissed me off, but then going into this Future's End, and then this, you know, trying to go back to their Infinite Crisis basically with their bullshit continuity.
You know why they're doing this, right? This,
because they don't know what to do. They're backpedaling. Well, they're going back to the pre-New 52.
Right, but you know why they're doing this whole jump 5 years and in this lead up to Infinite Crisis? Because isn't Infinite Crisis's anniversary coming up or something?
I think something like that, something stupid like that. But it's, yeah. I mean, I didn't like it the first time. This to do this just is irritating to me. Not to mention the fact that I. Their continuity has just been goofy since the New 52. I've liked the stories. I've liked the art for the most part. Well, I mean, I've liked the art over the stories, but I've had a hard time getting on board with their crapshoot. And then the fact that they're doing this Future's End, and then they're going to go into this multiversity or whatever the hell they're calling it. And you get the same douchebag that created Damian Wayne doing it. And then they're bringing him back too, by the way. Which yeah. We knew that was coming. They always kill for a year and bring him back. It's just, I don't know. It's just, they bother me so bad when something cool is legitimately in there, and then they throw it away because, oh, we're gonna do this now.
I mean, we're going to eventually talk about the Batman Beyond comics in the pull bag. You know, what we've gotten to this point from Adam Beecham's original run with 10,000 Clowns and all that stuff. But, you know, I read somewhere online, I don't think it was at Weird Science, a DC blog, but I read somewhere online, it was probably one of the more, not saying Weird Science is not major, but like Comic Book Resources, Newsarama, somewhere, one of the more in the spotlight, like in the limelight comic book websites, I read somewhere where they said that DC wants to only have one digital release per day. I'm looking at the digital first release at the end of Batman Beyond chapter 33 right now. Right now they have bi-weekly Arrow season 2.5 and The Flash season 0 to gear up for that, you know, the new season of Arrow and the new series Flash. That's on Mondays. On Tuesdays they have Injustice. On Wednesdays they have Batman 66. On Thursdays they have Wonder Woman. On Fridays they have Smallville. On Saturdays they have Batman Beyond, which will be replaced by is it already out? The Giro Quada, whatever the Bat manga here, I mean it's kind of a blacked out image, so I'm not sure if it's, I'd have to look in. Basically right now they have they have 3 days with two titles on each day. Monday, Saturday, and Sunday all have two digital titles coming out per day. I mean, Batman Beyond was just, I mean, it was getting really, really good. They just did the Mark of the Phantasm arc. You know, they did all this stuff, and now, after November, we're not going to have anything at this point. Batman Beyond specifically.
Other than DC television, such as Flash and Arrow.
Yeah.
Suck my nuts, DC.
Yeah, see, I didn't even think this Giro Quada Bat manga thing, I didn't even think this started yet. I thought this was a new series that they were gonna be like, I didn't even realize this had already started. This is already 11 issues in. So I thought they were canceling Batman Beyond in favor of something new that they would be starting in November, but it has 11 issues of it on Comixology already. At this point, I'm going to give the new Batgirl stuff a try with the new creative team. I'm going to give that a try. I'm still going to read the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which that's changing. They're ending the He-Man Masters of the Universe in December and starting Eternity War, which is either another mini-series or something or other. honestly, and I know I've said this before, I know Ryan Dross probably won't listen to this from Star Joes, but Ryan said, oh, you've said this before, DC's, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, the pullback is probably going to end up becoming the Image IDW Dark Horse Marvel podcast, because...
DC's jumped the shark too many damn times. It's going to be hard for them to recover from me, and I'm the biggest freaking like DC fan, and for me to say that, I'm pretty freaking sick of it.
Yeah,
it's taking all my willpower not to say the F-bomb, but
yes. All right, well, we've talked 10 minutes worth of comics. Let's get into the next four episodes of Batman Beyond. First up is Speak No Evil after this.
We couldn't hold him, and now we've got a gorilla on the loose. One that's real strong and real smart.
Yes, and getting smarter.
All right, Speak No Evil is depicting the appearance of an intelligent gorilla, Fingers, in Gotham City. When the roaming gorilla sends people into a panic, Batman comes quickly to the rescue, but notes that the gorilla is much more intelligent than it should be, including the ability to speak English, after learning that the gorilla is simply trying to find the man who kidnapped his mother so that he can get her back. Batman agrees to help him track down the poacher. Dun, dun, dun. I feel like this entire episode is a combination of anything to do with Gorilla Grodd and all that stuff. And honestly, it's... It feels like a combination of a JLU episode with Gorilla Grodd and a Captain Planet episode dealing with poachers. Like, really seriously. You know, I guess technically, and I don't know because I haven't looked at the trivia for this episode yet, but I guess technically you could say this is their way of mimicking Bambi. I honestly don't know. I really don't know what to think of this episode. I mean, after Out of the Past, I'm so glad we ended episode 35 with Out of the Past and not this, because this would have sent me into a tizzy and it kind of does, because this is the follow-up to Out of the Past. How do you follow up one of the best episodes of this entire series with
Gorilla Grodd 1.0?
Yeah, what the hell?
I was thinking maybe this is Gorilla Grodd before he gets his superpowers.
Yeah.
And went back in time to torment them in the past.
Yeah. There's only one really cool thing that I wrote down for this episode. Stealth Batmobile. There's a point when Terry goes to the zoo, it's before he meets up with the gorilla. There's a point where he has his camo on, he's in the Batmobile. As he's landing the Batmobile becomes camo like his suit does. And, you know, the lions are roaring, the elephants are trumpeting, and Bruce says, Terry, he says, it's okay, they know I'm here. They can smell me. But I love that they... worked the stealth batsuit tech in that it can work with the Batmobile. That is so friggin' cool. What did you think overall of this one?
I mean, it wasn't bad. It was kind of showing that Batman can do something other than having to go after his rogues gallery per se, and kind of help his fellow Earth person.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's all right. It's not the best episode I've seen, but it's yeah. It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been, yeah. The title of this, for trivia, the title of this episode, as well as its protagonist, refers to the pictorial maxim, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, embodied by the three wise monkeys. See No Evil was used for an episode of Batman the Animated Series. If I remember correctly, that wasn't a very good episode either. I already gushed about the Batmobile stealth capability. The Gotham Studios logo is similar to the Warner Brothers logo. It's always awesome when they can work that in. Let's see. The man in the park that Fingers frightens away seems to be the same one Batman saved in the train and Hidden Agenda. He also makes a cameo in Rats and Countdown. Though produced before Justice League, Wayne's reference to gorillas being more intelligent than most people presume may have been a reference to a numerous previous encounters with Grodd. Fingers' rooftop escapades appear to be a nod, obviously, to King Kong. Casting for this one, Malachi Throne is the voice of Fingers. Max Brooks is Howard Groot. Rainier Schoen is Van Dyle. So that's cool. This one, what you're going to find, folks, after the next episode that we talk about, what you're going to find is Batman Beyond kind of gets lower and lower.
It tapers off.
It very much does. Absolutely.
But it gets replaced by Justice League, so.
All right, we're going to move on because we've got the call.
I always hoped I'd never have to use it.
Kryptonite. This could kill him, right?
Do whatever it takes, but make sure you stop him.
Up next is The Call. This is the final two-parter of Batman Beyond. Part 1 originally aired November 11th, 2000, and Part 2 on November 18th, 2000. Terry is initially starstruck when Superman appears and offers him membership in the Justice League Unlimited. However, Terry is troubled by the hostility he receives from the other leaguers, and further troubled when Superman confides that he suspects one of them is a traitor. Dun, dun, dun! I love this episode, but before we can even talk about the plot, we have to talk about the dark versus the light when it comes to Gotham and Metropolis. They, you know, it was always so well played in BTAS and Superman the Animated Series, and it is equally well played here. I love how light and bright and futuristic Metropolis looks, as well as how dark and futuristic Gotham looks. I guess you could almost say Gotham could be dystopian, while Metropolis would be utopian.
Yeah.
For a minute there, I thought that guy was a Cobra agent. Turns out it's Superman.
Yeah, Superman did look pretty odd.
Yes.
In this.
Yes.
And I didn't have a problem with the padded armor stuff or whatnot. The other thing that was kind of strange is that doesn't resemble any kind of an S on his chest.
No, it doesn't.
It's more like, I'm V-Man.
Yeah. Oh, God, what's that thing? Oh. Oh, God. I made a Ghostbusters reference off air, and now I'm going to make one on air. He is Vigo!
Boo. Boo.
Oh, come on now. The theme, I know these composers and I know these producers and directors are always paying attention to these things, but the fact that they work in the old Superman the Animated Series theme when he shows up, you know, to end this kind of, you know, to end this episode a little bit, I thought that was amazing that they worked that in there. That was awesome. So what do you think is what do you think about Shooter McGavin voicing Superman?
I didn't like it.
Really?
No. I think I was expecting, when I first saw this, I was expecting to hear like an older
Tim Daly
or George Newbern come out of the voice. Like, just because I'm so used to it with Kevin Conroy coming out as old man Bruce, and it's not like they'd have to age him all that much, because Superman ages very, very, very slow.
Yeah.
Because they were about the same age in BTAS, and here they're even though they're the same age, Bruce is very, very feeble, whereas Superman's like the 50-year-old Bruce.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's kind of strange to see that going on, but it's funny to the point that Batman even kind of, you know, and when I say Batman, I mean like Bruce at this point, kind of doesn't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
That's your call.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like it because I kind of like Shooter being the voice of Superman here in the future because it's kind of a full circle thing for the DCAU because Christopher McDonald played the voice of Jor-El in the first three episodes, Last Son of Krypton and Superman the Animated Series. So he played Jor-El. And it kind of, I don't know, it just, I mean, I
so you
I
see it as a
you.
Natural progression of his family lineage.
Well, maybe, yeah, but I see it more so as, oh, hey, I remember that as this character. Do I think that Superman's voice would change that drastically? No, probably not. And I'm betting why they couldn't get Tim or George to do it. Well, at this time, George hadn't even... When was this? This was 2000. They didn't start Justice League till 2001. I don't even know if George was in pre-production on Justice League at this point.
Yeah,
so,
there may have been a scheduling issue, which may have
with
Tim Daly.
So, yeah, so. I mean, so I'm perfectly fine with. It's always weird to me when I hear McDonald's voice pop up in voice acting because it's like the first thing I think of is Happy. Hey, it's Shooter McGavin. You know, it's the first thing I think of is Happy friggin' Gilmore.
I eat shit like you for breakfast. You eat shit? No.
So, all right, I'm going to go back to the comic just for a minute here because I wasn't sure if we ever saw any kind of secret compartments in the Batcave, especially behind the damn case of the suits, because in the Justice League, Justice Lords Beyond crossover that we had in Batman Beyond Justice League 2.0, there was a hidden compartment behind there where Terry found a Lord Batman Beyond suit. So when I read that in the comic by Higgins, I was like, hey, wait a second, the case of suits doesn't open up to reveal. And it does in this episode because Bruce breaks out the green stuff. I love seeing Terry as Batman under the light of Kryptonite. That was awesome. It was such a cool image. All right, for part two, we learn that...
Superman's a hoe.
Yes, so Superman turns out to be the traitor, but it's not his fault.
Nope.
Because Starro is controlling Superman. Now, I know that...
It's his fault.
Uh-huh. I know that Bruce Timm at some point has said that he really likes Starro, and they always wanted to work Starro in. So I think it was kind of cool... That they, I thought that was kind of cool that they worked, worked Starro in, so that's pretty awesome. Overall, I mean, I like the new, not necessarily new League members, I mean, we've seen some of them before, I mean, Barda's always been around, I liked that they used Aqua Girl, that they, you know, showed that, you know, Marina and Arthur's daughter. I thought that was cool. I liked that they're using Warhawk. Micron was all right, but he wasn't really in it half the time. I mean, he got injured in the beginning and then was on stasis the whole time.
Well, he was kind of like Adam.
Yeah, he is like the Adam. He has the size changing abilities.
And I find it interesting that they couldn't use Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I think there's something here in the continuity. Let's see. Where is it? What else did you like about this one?
It was weird seeing a different Green Lantern.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
And Aquaman actually had somebody of his lineage in the Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let me see here. Production, that's where it is. They could not use Wonder Woman for the JLU lineup, so they used Big Barda as a placeholder. I'm not sure. It doesn't say why, and I honestly don't remember. I remember watching the close-up on. I just don't remember why the actual reason was for that. There's so many continuity notes. I might actually throw the continuity notes in the post, but there's so many to go over there, so I don't think we're going to go over too many of those. A working title for the episode was The League. Let's see. He says, Bruce Timm at the round table says that Warhawk's survival is a total cheat. He also says that there are many logic flaws throughout the whole episode. The star creature is never named in the episode, but Bruce Timm and others on the episode round table refer to it as Starro. Starro the Star Conqueror is famous in the Justice League's first enemy. His appearance in the comics has been variously portrayed as a gigantic starfish and or as a hive mind inhabiting millions of smaller starfishes capable of possessing people. Dun, dun, dun. At the time of Superman the Animated Series episode, The Main Man, Starro's appearance wasn't meant to be anything but a cameo. When Superman blasted through the Watchtower in Part 2, there is an explosion that is reused footage from Superman the Animated Series episode World's Finest, Part 3, where the Wayne Lakes T7 blows up another droid.
They seem to like that taking from that episode.
Yes, yes they do. Aquaman's file photo attached to Aquagirl's file matches his original appearance on Superman the Animated Series, not the revamped appearance in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. It lists his stats as whereabouts unknown. In the flashback, Superman is wearing his modified costume when he is first possessed by the creature, which indicates that this event takes place after Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. In the roundtable on the episode's special feature, Will Friedle and Bruce Timm debated this point, Timm insisting that Superman was wearing his old costume, which raised the distressing possibility that he was possessed during some of his years with the Justice League, while Friedle insisted otherwise and turned out to be right. There are a bunch of production inconsistencies. Do you want to take some of the trivia?
Sure. Though Short Ink's appearance on this episode makes her the only villain, not including Derek Powers, unless he's Blight, to appear on Batman Beyond more than three times. That's really strange. They actually did something different.
Yep.
Part 1 won an Annie Award for Outstanding Individual Achievement for Directing in an Animated Television Production. The musical score playing during Batman's Chase of Ink is a re-edited version of that playing in the episode Disappearing Ink during the fight in the laboratory. Part 1 is the third episode since The Last Resort and April Moon in which Batman does not throw a single batarang.
Yeah.
Whoever comes up with these, like, trivia bits has watched it a little too closely. Superman escapes from Ink using the same trick he used in the Superman the Animated Series episode Fun and Games to escape from Toyman's Dopey Doe. When Superman says he can't see any more bombs, he should be using X-ray vision, which normally makes his eyes glow blue, but instead his eyes are glowing red, hinting that he is the one causing the explosions in the first place.
Yep.
Superheat.
I love this one. Aquagirl is voiced by Jodie Benson, the voice of Ariel in Disney's The Little Mermaid.
That's actually kind of ironic. Once a fish, always a fish.
That's right.
Christopher McDonald later voiced Higo, a superhero on Disney's Kim Possible. Higo is a parody of Superman, having the same super strength and built physique, but portrayed as somewhat dim-witted and giving to making ridiculous, obvious statements in a melodramatic tone. Several lines, such lines were written for Superman in the first season of Justice League and were later parodied in the second season episode A Better World Part 2. Though they never worked together on it, Christopher McDonald and Jodie Benson both starred in the 1997 movie Flubber as Wilson Croft and the flying yellow robot Weebo. I did not know that she played Weebo. Interesting. A darker version of the STAS theme can be heard after Superman defeats Inc. when Superman lifts cargo tank with one hand and when Superman is chasing the Batmobile.
When he's chasing the Batmobile, that's where I really noticed it, and I noticed it because Tim, in the commentary for the episode, mentions it, that they wanted to do a darker tone since he's flying vertically instead of horizontally. And I am so waiting for La La Land Records to do another volume for Superman the Animated Series. I know they have a Volume 3 for BTAS coming here soon, but I cannot wait to see what comes on STAS, or if they ever redo Batman Beyond score.
Because, I think they should do more of Batman Beyond.
Well, yeah. I mean, oh, well, they put 20 full scores on the Superman 4-disc set, so, I mean, that's... It's in my iTunes. I'd have to look and see how many tracks it is. I think it's like 100 and something tracks. But yeah, no, I love that darker theme. Let's see here.
Big Bird.
Batman. She calls him Cal.
Which Wonder Woman does.
Yeah. Batman asking Wayne if the Batmobile's top speed is faster than a speeding bullet. Obviously a nod to the opening narration of the Fleischer cartoons in the 1940s. The last one I'm going to bring up is Superman's comment at the end of Part 2 alludes to the link between Bruce and Terry later revealed in Project Batman Beyond. overall, absolutely love this two-parter. It probably, honestly, should have ended the series.
That would have been a hell of a lot stronger than what came after. Because honestly, the rest of the series is just like, yeah. Quite literally, it's literally,
all right, we are gonna move on to the final episode of the day after this.
I can't do it. I don't care if he kills me.
Charlie, you gotta go to the cops.
I can't do that either. They'd never be able to protect me once the Major finds out I let you go.
He doesn't have to find out. I know the police commissioner. She's a friend of Bruce Wayne's. She can make it look like the cops caught you right after you left the hideout.
But then I end up in jail.
What were you expecting, a medal?
I don't want to go back in, Terry.
It won't be forever. They'll go light on you. And while you're in, the doctors will be working on a cure.
A cure? My dream. Getting into the big time. Kind of a nightmare now, huh?
Mr. Wayne has hundreds of scientists on his payroll. The best in the world.
And he'd do this for me?
No, he's gonna do it for me. Now come on, we're running out of time.
Wait, if something goes wrong, I'd be safer on the outside.
Nothing's gonna go wrong.
But if it does, what if I stay here till you come back and tell me they got the Major?
Last up tonight is today, Betrayal. Charlie Big Time Bigelow is back, and he is still mutated into the Hulk. He has finally made it into the big time crime, however he is unhappy with his role and seeks to find a way to get the power he really wants. I thought Big Time's first episode was fine. This is just overkill.
I know, it's like watching every episode of The Incredible Hulk.
You know.
I'm doing that on purpose.
Yeah,
you know where Big Time comes from. They don't have gamma radiation.
Yeah,
they should send him to the planet Big Time. You know, like World War Hulk.
Oh my god.
Oh, they should send him to Apocalypse. They won't need him there.
Yes, they won't need him there. I don't think. Let me look here. The only note I wrote down for this one, that poor upside-down Batmobile with Bruce in it, Big Time flung it like it was plastic. That's the only note I have for this episode that I wrote down.
Bruce in the Frisbee Mobile.
I mean, I like seeing, you know, Terry's character development, and he's still not going to go with Big Time and not going to join him, and that's still, no. So, any other thoughts on Big Time? Because I don't think there's...
He died.
Yeah. I mean, they're really... There's only three trivia bits. You know, you already mentioned it last time we talked about Big Time. When he's mutated, Clancy Brown replaces Stephen Baldwin as the voice. But other than that, I mean, there's really nothing here.
Yep, there's nothing for us here.
So I think we're going to go to an ad break, and we're going to come back with putting the episodes in order after this.
I'm Colin Baker.
My name's Fraser Hines.
Hi, I'm Daphne Ashbrick.
This is Andrew Cartmell.
Hi, this is Colin Spall.
Hello, I'm Simon Fisher-Becker.
This is Ian McNeice.
Hi, this is Travis Ritchie.
You listen to this, Mark.
Listen to Mark Who 42's Universe.
If you're into Doctor Who, listen to Mark Who 42's Universe. We always have the latest Doctor Who news, reviews, and interviews. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Geekcast Radio Network, and our home base, MarkWho42.net.
Mark Who 42, the meaning of life.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Grab your helmets, because it's time to assemble Mask. Mask Mayhem is here with your hosts TF2 and Mike, Optimus Solo, and brand new host Toon Master Tim. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talking the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. So get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon. We are back, and it is time to rate these four episodes of Batman Beyond Season 3. Betrayal is easily at the bottom. Speak No Evil after that, and they call parts 1 and 2 are probably tied for first for me. What about you?
I think I'm going to go with the exact same thing, because I would rather watch Speak No Evil than Betrayal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there were some funny moments in it, and there is the element of, you know, like, conventional batarangs from BTAS, yeah. And, you know, the Bruce moment, but other than that, I think the call takes it this episode.
Oh, absolutely. Like there was just no contest.
No, if Out of the Past were in here, well, we'd have to side with that one.
That's why I moved it the other way. that's gonna do it for this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight. We only have four more episodes left. Next time around, we're gonna be talking about Curse of the Cobra parts 1 and 2, Countdown, and Unmasked, which is the finale for Batman Beyond, or the season finale for season 3. That's going to do it. For now, I'm TF2 and Mike with...
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Dude, you've turned into a monster.
You made me this way.
Everything okay?
Not really, but thanks for setting my ride for me.
I never did like those boom tubes.
And now those starfish things are on all of them. Any ideas?
All I can do is have Barbara contact the military.
But they'll bomb the place.
That's their job.
What's the top speed on this thing?
Mach 3.
Is that faster than a speeding bullet?